This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate. Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Brandon, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Josh. Josh,
hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I jumped the gun there for like the Rams right ahead of you. I'm so excited to say
don't
hello.
Step over me. Now, as our regular listeners will know, we're recording this episode a little later in the week, and it's off a regular schedule, but I think that that might benefit you guys, because now we have a lot to talk about with the two rounds of Champions League fixtures that were played on Tuesday and Wednesday.
That's true. And we've already recorded a full episode that didn't get recorded.
Yeah.
So we've already lined up all the
jokes that we're going to make.
We have all of our marks ready to hit.
The only thing that will change will be the prices, the FPL prices that we reference.
That's right.
So let's give the rundown real quick of what we're going to discuss in this episode. We're going to visit our ever-growing mini league Hail Cheaters. We want to give a big welcome to all the new managers who have joined this week. We're up to close to 75 managers now.
Yeah, I think we're at 73. Then we've got one person who's joining at the next points thing.
whenever they reset the game, I think is when they when they log the new managers in there.
And 73 plus Bobby Gasol coming soon.
Welcome, Bobby. We'll give a big welcome to all the new managers every week. So maybe hopefully we'll just get one new manager each time. you were making the point, Josh, you were bemoaning the fact that all the managers joining are actually good and driving us further and further down the mini league table.
It's really mixed. I mean, it's when I say mixed blessing, I mean, it is like 98% a blessing and 2% a curse, because every week now I have this red arrow that greets me every time there's a new points update. And I think that eventually, I'm gonna hit that triple captain button, and I'm gonna like jump ahead, I'm gonna get that like turbocharge. It's going to be like that movie Need for Speed. I'm just going to like jump, just and zoom back.
An interesting way to look at it for me is we've been playing the FPL.
A movie I have not seen, by the way.
Is that the one with
the guy from Breaking Bad?
Yeah, of course. Who will forever and ever be known as that guy from Breaking Bad? Jesse, I guess we
Jesse
can call
Pinkman.
Him. But an interesting way for me to look at the Hail Cheaters mini league is we've been playing the FPL for about 5 years now, and we have a private league with some of our friends. And by this point, we pretty much know every move that they're going to make, and it's just more or less a game of defense. So being bombarded with all these new managers and Hail Cheaters from all around the world, it's fun to see what all the squads are looking like. Kind of taking me a little bit by surprise.
I think so too. And you see, it's amazing how I was talking to you about this earlier. When Alexis Sanchez had his huge game over the weekend and scored a 20-point game, right? Like one of the best things that can happen if it's on your team. And even if you didn't captain him, it's just a huge haul, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
massive.
I was like, and so in our little mini league, I was like, oh well, this is tremendous. And then it turns out that basically everybody already had Alexis Sanchez. Right. You know, like he's owned by like, I mean, his ownership, you know, at the start of the weekend, I think it was a little under 10%. But somehow everyone in our league had Sanchez, you know. So I think there is like a certain groupthink that it's nice to see not happening here in the Hail Cheaters League.
So yeah. Anyway, the Hail Cheaters Mini League, Colin Bothwell, will get to you soon. After that, we're going to introduce a new segment called Trending Topics.
Mm-hmm. It is replacing last week's segment,
yeah,
which didn't quite work.
I completely humiliated myself for slandering Juan Mata, who is apparently once again the greatest player in the Premier League.
Yeah, it looked incredible. Did you see the pass today for the Chris Smalling's goal in the Champions League?
I didn't. I just saw a lot of tweets saying Juan Mata is a genius, et cetera, et cetera.
He was at like a 90 degree angle to goal, and he like kicked it off his back foot, and it, you know, went like lobbed over like five defenders and landed at the foot of Chris Smalling, who was able to knock it in ahead of the goalkeeper. It was an incredible goal.
I'll have to see it to believe it. I'm not sure I believe you at this point. So Trending Topics, we're actually going to, instead of trying to be provocative with unpopular opinions, we're just going to discuss the hottest topics of the week for FPL managers and give you our hot takes, I guess is the pretty down and dirty way to describe it, right?
Yep, that sounds right.
And then we'll give a quick rundown of all the action we saw in Game Week 7 before we get into our preview of Game Week 8 and how we're looking to set our team. Speaking of setting our teams, I have a bit of an issue with my own squad right now.
I saw on late Saturday night, I see this post from Twitter that says, what it was, something like, help, like, save Brandon. He's about to make a 12-point hit.
Yeah.
Now, how serious were you when you said that? I mean, were you that despondent that a 12-pointer was really on the – I've never taken 12 points in all 5 years of playing.
I don't think I have.
Maybe I've taken an 8-point once.
I don't think I have taken a 12-point hit either, but how serious was I? I remember it was Saturday, probably around 4 in the afternoon, after all the games had completed, and I said to my wife, I'm going to the bar to get a drink. And I didn't say it in like, oh man, I really have to have a drink, my life sucks.
I hope you said that like I would be alone.
Yeah, I need to be alone right now. No, it's more like she was doing her thing, and I felt I had to get out of the house, so that's what I chose to do. So there I was, sitting at this little spot around the corner for me, the Gold Star beer counter.
We should note, by the way, that you don't have Alexis Sanchez, which I think was may have fueled this bar trip.
That was part of it. And you and I, Josh, were in a very heated head-to-head every week competition called the 50 Buck Cup, which we have mentioned a couple times in the pod. So every Sanchez goal was farther away than that I was getting from my own personal goal of beating you. And to this point in the FPL game, I had a leg up on you. And within the last 2 weeks, thanks to the hashtag Save Josh, you've managed to turn your squad around.
And yeah, I've jumped up about 750,000 spots in the last 2 weeks. So I'm approaching respectability again. I'm still, you know, I'm out of the 2 millions finally.
So what's my lead on you right now? Like 12 points, I think?
Yeah, maybe a little bit less.
So there I am. I'm sitting at the bar, and I'm looking at my squad on my phone, and I'm thinking, what do I have to do to right the ship? And Paye, who is another guy, sorry, Juan Mata, Paye is another guy who I was wrongfully, I wouldn't say I was dismissing him in the last episode of the pod. I was more or less saying I haven't paid enough attention to him. I acknowledge that he was a bandwagon, but he just wasn't one that I did any research on.
Mm-hmm. You had a larger problem going into the – I mean, you know, it's possible he might have been someone you could bring in if
– Yeah, David Silva.
This David Silva issue, the pressing Silva issue.
Exactly. So I was so impressed with Hazard in that Arsenal game that I brought in Hazard to replace Silva. I had just enough scratch in the bank to make that work.
Is this Eden Hazard or Thorgan, his younger brother?
It's Eden, the very popular Premier League player, Eden Hazard, the third best player in the world.
Okay.
So that's fine. He got an assist. I captained him, and I get 10 points there. But now my big problem, and as I'm sitting at the bar contemplating a 12-point hit, I'm looking at all of my Swansea assets. Mm-hmm. I've got Fabianski in goal, who came in off the bench for Joe Hart. Now, we can talk about my goalkeeper strategy there another day. It's clearly, like, it was clearly I outsmarted
Bad
myself.
From the start, yeah.
So then I've got Andre Ayew in my midfield and a Batafembi. Have we figured out how to...
I think it's Bafatimbi.
There you go. Bafatimbi Gomes up front.
But he goes by Tim.
Now, Tim Gomes and Ayew, they have failed to produce in the last three game weeks. Ever since I picked Ayew up, they've both gone cold. So this is a major concern of mine. And there are two guys that I want to bring in. I want to bring in Payet, and I want to bring in Vardy. Now, these are, like, already I'm late to these bandwagons. These guys are the hottest guys in the game right now. I think Vardy is the most transferred in right now, and his price has already gone up this week.
Yeah, and Payet's up to 7.9. He was at, I think he was at 7.7 a week ago. So, you know, a bit of a change. And then, yeah, Vardy's up to 6.5 now.
So, listeners, bear with me here. It goes deeper than this. My other problem is Mark Albrighton, who sits on my bench. So now I am tripled up on Leicester players. I've got Robert Huth in the defense, Mahrez in the midfield, along with Mark Albrighton. So, all right, to bring Vardy in, I'd have to get rid of one of these Leicester players. And to get Payet in, say for AU, I would have to free up some cash. Mm-hmm. So the only way for me to get Vardy and Payet in would actually be to burn 12 points. So this is a faulty strategy.
You would never get the return to justify it.
I wouldn't, yeah.
Because you'd need Jamie Vardy to score like two or three goals away to Norwich in game week 8, and you have to captain him or something to really reap the rewards here. And that's assuming that Gomes does nothing at home to Stoke City, which I don't see any reason why. Or actually, I think they're home to Spurs, excuse me. But, you know, I mean, he certainly could score at home to Spurs, Gomes.
So here you see, this is when I acknowledge that I'm hitting the panic button and I send out the cry for help on the at Hail Cheaters Twitter feed. Because I think you're absolutely right. This is interesting to talk about for FPL managers, just the whole idea of panic. Because you know that feeling when you feel like you've got your squad all wrong, and the only way to get back into the game is, no matter what cost, just get the team you need.
It's a tough spot. I mean, obviously,
I'm not saying that that's a justifiable way to play, but that's just a mode of thinking that you can get in when you're having a truly poor game week.
I think what's interesting is that Gomes like is almost turning into a differential now. I mean, you know, not quite yet, but you know, he was really the popular transfer choice for Martial. And I think a lot of people are now looking at – the problem is a lot of people have Gomes and Callum Wilson. So a lot of people are going to have to stick with him at least through this weekend.
Yeah.
Because there's a more pressing issue elsewhere.
We'll get to Callum Wilson in our hot new segment, Trending Topics.
Yeah, which excited about that one. So I hear what you're saying. So in the end, do you think you might burn – I mean, is it one of those things where either you're burning 8 or you're not burning any points at all? Like, it's not worth – I mean, what's your thinking, you know, 3 days on?
I do see 3 days on, I've calmed myself down a bit. So the one move I was considering was, in light of all of that, to keep Gomes. But if Ayew is pinpointed as the problem – not even that he's the problem, but – you really want Payet going into that Sunderland fixture, don't you? Because that just reeks of points for your West Ham players. So
and you don't have the money in the bank to make a straight swap.
Because I don't have money to make the straight swap, it's got to be Ayew to Kouyaté, who is getting goals. He's much cheaper. I could get money back in the bank, and that gives me West Ham coverage for the Sunderland game. So that means I hang on to Gomes, and I do subscribe to that theory that it's just a three-game blip for Swansea. It's not that Gomes doesn't look dangerous.
And maybe Ayew to Kouyaté is kind of an interesting move. I think that so you wouldn't – Payet would just be off the table then. You really just want West Ham – you know, representation.
Okay, so a move to get Payet in to burn 4 points, I would bring in, say, somebody like Ighalo for Gomez. That would free up enough cash for me to turn AU into Payet. So then I have Payet in my midfield and Ighalo instead of Gomez up front.
Right, but Ighalo away to Bournemouth is not a significantly stronger. I think that's like 6 of 1, half dozen of another.
So the other concern about Gomez then, and we had somebody raised this on the Transfer Hub Facebook message board about do you just stick with Gomez? He's at home, but the problem is he was subbed off at halftime in game week 7.
Yeah, I think that was just a tactical move though. That by all accounts, Gomez is, you know, maybe it was needed. He just had to, you know, shake him from his whatever, you know, get his form back, get his confidence back. I don't know. I mean,
if you see a struggling striker out there and he's not getting any opportunities, it's only just going to further dismantle his mentality.
Exactly. I mean, the guy has still scored 4 goals this season, had 45 different offsides calls against him. You know, he's a very dynamic player. I don't know. I mean, part of it is I just trust Gary Monk, too. You know, I have a lot of confidence in him as a manager, and I assume that he'll be able to find a way out of it. I mean, I don't really think that Eder is going to start taking all of his minutes. I mean, I don't think anyone is so impressed with Eder that there's going to be some sort of Eder versus Gomez debate that develops.
I mean, it's impossible because, as we know, Eder is the game eater, mm-hmm. also known as the sin eater. And whenever he steps onto the field, the game is officially over.
Pretty much true. Yeah. I mean, nothing happens once Eder steps on. He might take the penalty at the end of that Southampton game. It was like when Sigurdsson stepped up, I had forgot about him somehow. You know, it was like I forgot he was even on the team.
I would love to see Sigurdsson do a cover of Forgot About Dre, but instead of Dre, he says Sigurdsson.
I was also very surprised that he was able to vulture a bonus point in that 3-1 game. That must have hurt a little
this
bit.
This is the season of vultured bonus points.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
I guess this is all masking my true disappointment, which is I have Ozil as my Arsenal midfielder, where now all the people who have Sanchez are just really happy.
Yeah. Well, and you're really in a tough spot now because the bandwagon's bigger, so if anything happens, it hurts you even more.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's one thing if, you know, at this point, like if Eden Hazard has big returns, it doesn't really hurt. Well, if you didn't have him, you know, if he had big returns, it wouldn't really hurt you because he's not a widely owned player. So there's less value.
Well, now I'm looking at his selected by percentage and it's 30%. But is that maybe just by ghost teams?
Alexis Sanchez or Eden Hazard?
I'm talking about Hazard.
That has to be. I don't think that, and I say this as someone who has foolishly held onto Hazard way too long.
Right, right.
But I mean, I think that I feel like the people who are really trying to, who are, you know, who are wild carding, who are trying to put together the best possible team they can. I don't think most of them have Hazard on their team.
Yeah, and Hazard is nowhere to be found on the transfers in list. From the FPL, he's way down there behind Danny Drinkwater.
Even if you wanted to bring him in, it's hard to do right now at his price. I mean, he's down to 11.3, but 11.3 is a lot of money to free up. And who are you going to trade him in for? I mean, you're not going to bring him in for Alexis. You're not going to bring him in for any of the Man City midfielders. You know, there's not really an option. You know, unless you like just somehow have 4.5 million in the bank.
Right.
It's very hard to turn anybody into him. Oh, and there are so many 7 million options right now that are appealing that I mean, I'm actually talking myself into getting rid of Hazard this week. And that's something we can get to in a minute. But I'm wondering whether it might make sense to just drop Hazard and bring in one of the Man City midfielders. I still have a lot of reluctance just based on how he's done the last few years. I mean, they have 2 home fixtures in a row. It kind of feels like I'm stuck with him for a while, you know. And Chelsea, when they're on form, which they're obviously not, and they lost to Porto in midweek, you know, when they're on form, they're basically fixture proof. I mean, it doesn't matter who they're playing. You know, I mean, they could play away to Man City, and they're still a team that you'd start all their players. I don't know.
Pedro is also a widely owned Chelsea player, and again, given the choice, I think everyone at this point in the game would take Hazard over Pedro.
Yeah, I think so. And just based on the way they've looked, I mean, you know, I know he was nursing a knock or something. But I think that Hazard has looked the better player in the last two games, you know, against Arsenal and Newcastle. I mean, Pedro had an awful shank at the end of that Newcastle game.
Yeah. I think my big issue with Ozil right now that became truly apparent with Alexis's hat trick over the weekend was Ozil, and every play was looking for the pass, never looking to score. And maybe that's just a sign of him being a great teammate and recognizing that Alexis was on fire and trying to get him the ball.
Yeah.
But it's clear you're only going to see assist points coming from Ozil this season.
I had Ozil for like 8 frustrating weeks last year, and it was just he was one of the, like, for whatever reason, I couldn't get rid of him. I had, you know, surgery to do elsewhere or whatever, but it's just so, yeah, he's a very frustrating player.
Yeah, he's a leftover from when everyone was picking Arsenal to run riot all over the league.
Yeah, that's true. And now Theo Walcott is almost the same price as Ozil. I think he's down to 8.5. It looks like he's going to be starting every week. I mean, it's amazing that it would take a lot for me to bring in Walcott at this point, just based on how much it really derailed my team the first 3 weeks of the season.
I don't know. He seems to be heating up, though.
I mean, he is 8.5. I mean, an 8.5 Arsenal midfielder who's playing out of position. It's something you have to at least consider. I mean, you have to throw your bias away and at least be open to the possibility of bringing him in.
Absolutely. Well, that's enough surgery on my team. Do you think?
Mm-hmm. I think so too, and I actually don't have too much to say about my own team this week. I had 50 points, which is a little above average. The Lukaku, you know, the 2 goals and the assist from Lukaku, I threw the average up a little higher. I didn't have him on my team, but a week I was happy with overall. And like I said, I jumped up a couple 100,000 spots again. So, you know, working my way back into at least the top million is the short term goal.
Yeah, where we're both sitting right now, any week you get a green arrow is, I mean, I guess it's not that easy. It's not that difficult to get a green arrow. You know, at the sub 1.5 million mark.
The clean sheet watch continues, though.
You're still without a single clean sheet this season after 7 game weeks?
It's incredible. You couldn't have 7 weeks without a clean sheet if you tried.
You got an assist from your goalkeeper before you got a clean sheet.
And I've had like 4 goals from my goalkeeper so far, or from my defenders so far this season.
That would be amazing if Butland scored, if he was on the same number of goals as Tim Gomes.
No, I have. I think I have 4 goals from my defenders and some assists. But no clean sheets, and it's just incredible. I mean, I'm just, you know, there's some points chasing you. I brought in Kolarov 2 weeks ago, and I've had 2 zeros in a row from him. I brought in Martin Skrtel 4 weeks ago. I thought I had kind of a cool. I thought that Gomez might get dropped, and I was like, well, you know, I don't want to bring in Gomez. I'll bring in Skrtel. I'll make the more conservative choice.
Hey, you were right about that.
Yeah, but it didn't matter anyway. I've had 1 point from him, I think.
You would have got the same number of points from Gomez. It's true.
Yeah. In the last 4 weeks, since I brought him in, his returns have been 1-1-2-1. Uh-huh. I mean, absolutely. I mean, that team is just a disgrace right now.
It truly is. Yeah, and I'm sitting on Nathaniel Klein. Why, God, why? Why did I do that?
All right, should we get to our new segment?
No, before we do that, let's give the rundown of who is ahead in the Hail Cheaters Mini League.
Of course, yeah.
So, like I said, we're up to 73 managers, soon to be 74. Hashtag welcome Bobby. My favorite team name so far, and this is mainly the thing that I look for in the list, is sitting at number 50, Obi-Wan Kenobi Nil. So, well done to you, Jordy Wilson. You're sitting at 291 points.
All right, let's give it up for Ajax Treesdown, Colin Bothwell.
Well done, sir.
Great week. Back in number 1 where he was before. Played the all-out attack this week, which worked out very well. I mean, the only player who didn't work in the all-out attack was Mahrez. But otherwise, Sanchez, Captain Walcott, had De Bruyne, had Paye, had Juve, had Callum Wilson, as many people did, so that one doesn't hurt too much.
Yeah.
Back on top, up to he's about 3,000.
And Craig Dawson, who I also have in my defense, and when that goal went in, that That did alleviate some of the sting I had on the game week.
Yeah, I think you and I had both worked out the math that I had just a large enough lead on you. I had a 16-point lead going into this game with no players in the Everton-West Brom game. So even if you got a goal, an assist, and three bonus points from him, it was not going to be quite enough to overcome.
Yeah, you started G-chatting me about this math, and I just told you to stop immediately. I couldn't bear it. Okay, so Colin Bothwell sitting up top with Ajax Trivsdal. Who else is up there?
Isle of Nabumbu is in second. 61 games, very respectable. Either it's pee or it's like a sideways like tongue sticking out. I don't know what you think the Hugh Patrick Campbell's team name is.
I'm gonna go with the hit song from the band The Rentals, Friends of Pee. This is a reference to that song, Friends of Pee.
All right, so let's assume he's a huge Rentals fan, yeah. and every year he names his team after some song from the Rentals.
Yeah, I like that.
Tough week for the two people who I think may have been in first and second place.
Yeah, I think Hippo FC was first last week.
Yeah, so he had Pat Vivat had 29 points. Kind of a tough week. I mean, the thing is, we looked at a few teams. I was taking a look at some of the teams that had, really poor point hauls this week, and it was all explainable. Myhill at home, and Gomis and Mahrez. If you had Pedro, Francis, a lot of people who could have come through just didn't. And so I actually think even though 50 is only four above the average, I actually think I got pretty lucky to get that high of a score.
Yeah,
given how many minefields there were this week.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you can look at a lot of these teams and say, well, I see what you were trying to do there. You just had terrible luck.
And then, Jesse Ruff, who had 18 points. And first time I saw that, I thought, well, maybe he took a point hit or something. But no, he captained Wilson, which was a reasonable thing to do. I mean, that Stoke City team has been chipping goals all season. I don't think have they kept one clean sheet all year? I don't think they have.
Wait, what team?
Stoke City.
Sorry, I totally zoned out there for a second. No, Tony Pulis isn't managing there anymore. I don't know if you heard.
No, I had not heard, but thank you for the heads up.
Jeff Cameron alone cannot keep clean sheets there. I think they're also really missing Ryan Shawcross not being in the back line.
There was one team that I saw who poor Nicholas Timms. I felt bad for Nick Timms.
Yeah, did he had an issue with all-out attack?
Burned 4 points, play the all-out attack, ended up with 28 points, or more like 24 with the four bonus points, or with the four burn points. Captain Aguero. I mean, Captain Aguero was really what hurt a lot of people this week. It's just hard to, it's hard to believe that this is still happening. I mean, I think we talked about this in the Phantom podcast.
We did, and I think we'll talk about Man City a bit in our trending topic segment, too.
Do you remember how many bonus points Sergio Aguero has for the first 7 weeks?
I do remember. I think I had guessed two, but it was actually just one.
No, it's zero.
Oh, it's zero.
Yes, zero bonus points.
A steel trap over here.
One goal, one assist.
It's incredible. I mean, the only thing that gives me faith with Aguero is seeing how transformed Alexis was over the weekend, and he went from being completely clumsy on the ball and totally off the pace to putting a really confident hat trick in, and
he scored an inspirational goal in the Champions League today too, and 90th minute goal away to Borussia Mönchengladbach. And, won the game for them. And Man City has not been playing, traditionally, as we know, and they lost at home to Juve a couple weeks ago. It's been, Man City's had it pretty tough in the Champions League. So, wonder if scoring that goal, maybe it inspires him, it gets his confidence up. It was only a penalty, but, still.
Still, yeah, I feel like I've got to keep the faith with Aguero at this point.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to trending topics.
Yeah. But before we go, just if you are out there and you haven't joined the Hail Cheaters Mini League, you can do so by going to our site, alwayscheating.com. The league code is there. Also, you can just click on league and hit the auto join button. So we'd love to have you.
Yeah. And we won't make fun of you too much. We make fun of ourselves a lot as well.
All right. So trending topics, not segments about Juan Mata.
That's right. Yeah, last week, actually it worked out okay in the end because you for whatever reason, that ended up becoming like a passionate ode to Juan Mata. You were sort of like, oh, I don't know how I feel about Juan Mata. And then I like talked extemporaneously for like 16 minutes about how nice it was.
I opened a lot of mail while we were recording that.
How nice it was to have the reliable returns of Juan Mata week in and week out.
He's just been a little flaky since he got to United. I don't know if it was his happenstantial playing time whatever, but
goal and assist today. Goal and assist over the weekend. Looks great. Playing with a lot of confidence. Pretty affordable at 8. Sorry, I don't mean to go down Juan Mata. Everyone knows that Juan Mata is doing well. That's not part of our trending topic.
All right, so our first question is the most pressing question, which I think a lot of people may have answered for themselves at this point. But what do we do with Callum Wilson? Who do we bring in to replace him? Because now he's out indefinitely with a knee. Is it a ligament tear? Some awful season-ending thing.
So neither of us, as people who listen to the podcast know, we've both been Wilson haters in the face of overwhelming evidence to support it. So week in, week out goals.
Yeah, a bicycle kick couldn't even sway us.
But many, many people have him in the league, and it's a tough spot. I mean, a lot of it obviously depends on how much money you have in the bank. And this is always the problem with having a cheap third striker is that if they get injured or if they're not delivering, it's very hard typically to just slide over. And,
unless you have tons of funds in your bank, which you probably don't. Maybe you've got 1.5 mil at the most.
Right. So I think there are a lot of interesting options. I don't know. Do you have if this were you, who would you be bringing in this week, Brennan?
Well, if I had just enough. So the math right now is Wilson's down to 5.8. So if I had 0.7 in the bank, I would go Jamie Vardy in a heartbeat.
Right. Jamie Vardy makes a lot of sense.
I was mentioning this to you about how Vardy weirdly reminded me of Swansea's former striker Michu over the weekend. Both of his goals that couldn't drive Leicester to victory against Arsenal were just so well taken, so technically adept. Now he plays a slightly different role than Michu did on Swansea, but it's just so impressive how technically proficient he is, but also how he's also that crazy hustle utility guy.
Yeah, I mean it's hard. I think it was on the Football Ramble or something they said, but it's not that, because I think he has some kind of trouble in his background, right? Like he's kind of.
Well, he had an issue over the summer at a casino. He used a racial slur that was caught on video. He was cussing out one of the dealers who, and it was not pretty. And
all right, that's his most recent issue. Yeah, love the narrative of the out-of-league striker, making it to the premiership. You don't have to love the guy, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, he's not in any danger of getting, like, a prison sentence or anything like that. Yeah. So he's probably not going to miss any minutes because of this.
All right, so Vardy's interesting.
Yeah, Ighalo's
another one.
He's kind of an obvious pick, but I do share your concerns about just banking on Watford. Watford has been a pretty sound and strong team thus far.
Right.
But they're still a promoted squad.
They're still, and it was not an inspiring performance at home to Crystal Palace over the weekend. I watched most of that game. It was,
the flip side of the Ighalo coin and Deeney.
Yeah, I know. The Deeney's got to go as soon as possible.
Deeney,
but
out.
It's actually impressive that they've racked up how many points? They're on seven through, or they're on 9 points through seven games. So it's been a great start to the season. But when you watch them play, it's hard to be inspired. I mean, the Deeney Ighalo link up play is the best thing. But I don't know. I mean, it's like this. They've so many, like, I don't know. Their midfield is very strange. From a fantasy point of view, I have no idea which player you'd want. I know that Anya was the one in the championship who was like the huge assist provider, but it doesn't really seem like Anya is the one who's who anything's running through at this point.
They brought in this new guy, Gerardo, who looks really good, but he hasn't quite fit into the team just yet.
Yeah, and Kapuei is interesting too. Obviously, he's a defensive midfielder, but he's playing all over the field. You know, had an assist last week. Could have had an assist actually in this game. And he's 4.9. So if you know, if you're one of those people who is looking to, you know, if you haven't played your wild card yet and you needed like a 4.5 to 5 million midfielder run at your team, you could do worse than Kipuwe.
I agree. Yeah. Gusted is an interesting option if you're looking at Liverpool. His minutes have been really sporadic, but he did play a full 90 and got two goals against Liverpool. So that's got to make you look at him.
I think Saka was probably the player I would be looking at if I had Deeney and I had the money. 6.6, has scored the last two matches. We saw last year that when he's on form, he's a natural goal scorer. I don't know. And I love the way that West Ham team's playing right now. I mean, kind of weird that they – I don't know. I mean, the West Ham-Norwich game is actually kind of a strange game. They look pretty dominant at times, and Norwich – I don't know. The second Norwich goal was kind of a – kind of an odd one. I don't know. I think that
Norwich scoring an odd goal. anyone who owns George R. Russell Martin wouldn't know anything about that.
So they have three of their next four are away, West Ham, and the third match is home to Chelsea, which I mean, given the way they played against the top sides this year, I guess you wouldn't feel too bad about that game or too. You keep thinking it's going to end this string of West Ham performances where they dominate superior opposition.
It happened with Stuart Downing last season, where he was a man possessed in that midfield for West Ham, and now
he's in Middlesbrough.
Yeah, look at your boy now. Where is he now? He's in Middlesbrough. So, yeah, the fear is with West Ham that they'll just drop off. I mean, that was, of course, under a completely different manager.
Yeah. So there are two other strikers who are interesting, both players that you would maybe want to look at if you had no money at all, or, you know, wanted to take some of that Wilson money and move it somewhere else, maybe bring in a Man City midfielder or something. And that is actually the one for this week would be Cameron Jerome. Which seems so insane given how unreliable he's been. I mean,
the most maverick of moves.
He did, interestingly enough, if this were 2010, it'd be very exciting. He had 10 goals and 4 assists in 2010. Or if it were 2008 when he had 7 goals and 1 assist.
We were living so high then, smoking cigars and just talking about Cameron Jerome all the time.
Good times with Jerome then. But he's 4.8, incredibly affordable. And the next four fixtures for – no, excuse me, the next – I guess four of the next five for Norwich are really strong. Home to Leicester, away to Newcastle, home to West Brom. Then they're away at Man City, so you only want to make this move if you had a strong fifth midfielder. But away to Man City and then home to Swansea in game week 5. So that's a pretty strong 5-week stretch there.
All right, you're making a pretty compelling case here for Cameron Jerome. Now, is the other guy you're thinking of Kone?
No, it's actually – it's a Jose Perez, the Jose Perez.
Oh, right. Newcastle forward, Jose Perez. He had a – I'm glad you mentioned him.
I remember. I can imagine you stroking your chin right now.
His goal against Chelsea was outstanding. I mean, I can't remember another goal he's ever scored in his entire life, but –
He's a player that I – so what I really want to do this week is not make any moves and have two for next week. In which case, I would turn Deeney into Perez because they're away at Man City this week. But then from game week 8 through game week 14, really – or game week 9 through game week 14, they're really strong. They're home to Norwich, away to Sunderland, home to Stoke, away to Bournemouth, home to Leicester, away to Crystal Palace.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, and he had a run last year. You know, he wasn't playing consistently, but he scored 7 goals last year.
My concern with that Newcastle team is that Chelsea draw a fluke. I mean, they were playing with such incredible passion. I guess we'll talk about this a little bit when we recap the game week 7 action.
Yeah,
were expending so much mental energy out there.
I think the thing is, you wouldn't if you were to make a move for someone like Perez. I don't think the money that you'd save. I think you'd want to like hold on to that money. You know, you wouldn't want to.
It's kind of a short term plan.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to reinvest it throughout your squad because it's a pretty good chance you're going to have to, cut bait on him pretty fast.
Right. So I think I think if you were to say our top two picks, that would have to be Vardy and Sacco, right? Which are both bit more expensive than the 5.8 price tag for Callum Wilson.
The Perez one is Yo's. God, I really think we're saying that wrong. We should start looking these up before that.
Nah.
Perez on
just call him Perez. So, it's fine.
Yeah. Perez. He's the one that I'm personally looking forward to bringing in. But I think if you really wanted to make a cheeky punt, then Cameron Jerome is the one that I would look at for this week.
I love it. That's some curveball thinking.
All right. So I've seen it in the forums. I don't want to get credit for like. Yeah.
Fair enough.
This is forum talk after all.
Forum talk, also known as trending topics.
Trending topics.
So our next question is regarding our Manchester City assets and what do we do with them? Yeah. Do we trust Aguero enough to keep him? And we definitely have some issues with the Man City midfield and defense.
I was a little disappointed when Pablo Zabaleta came out in the 90th minute of Man City's game this weekend, or not this weekend, today, against Mönchengladbach. And I'm putting myself in the position to have to say these words. You know, there's probably a better way to phrase this stuff. The problem is, the larger question here is that Man City is about to go in this epic run of fixtures, right? They're home to Newcastle, home to Bournemouth, away to Man U, and then home to Norwich, away to Aston Villa. So four of the next five games, and the Man U game, there'll probably be some goals in that one too. Four of the next five games are really, really like huge point hauls could happen.
In any other dimension, you would be putting the armband on Aguero and just turning off your computer and not coming back for a month.
But if you only have two Man City players, as I currently do, because I got rid of Silva a couple weeks ago, do you now bring Silva played today? Do you bring him back? Do you look at De Bruyne, who's looked really good the last couple of weeks and seems to be on free kicks too? A lot of the free kicks that Zabaleta was taking earlier in the season are now being taken by De Bruyne. So
free kicks that Kolarov was taking.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, I'm sorry. Of course. Yeah, Kolarov. So Kolarov is a little less valuable.
Are you suggesting that Zabaleta sort of channels his mind and body through Kolarov's body, which would be incredible?
That is what I'm suggesting.
My God.
I know. Yeah. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Okay, so De Bruyne is taking he's taking corner kicks. But so say I.
Well, he's taking some. I've seen Kolarov take corners too. I don't know if they're just. Whoever gets over there first,
or is it if it's on the right side, De Bruyne takes it, or
oh,
it's on
maybe
Kolarov
took him when Silva was gone. Yeah. Well, anyway, yes.
So anyway, Silva's going to be back. If you had to choose, and what are they? Are they equal on price now, Silva and De Bruyne?
Yeah, or pretty close. Like within a tenth of a million. Let's see if let's pull it up here. They are both. So De Bruyne has actually jumped Silva by a tenth. So De Bruyne is 10.2. Silva is 10.1, and those are really the only two midfielders we'd look at, right? I mean, you wouldn't want to bring in. I guess Sterling is an interesting option too. If
he is like the Mesut Ozil option.
He didn't have as much money.
He's the budget option
at 8.9.
You know, trust me as far as you can throw me, but at this point, I think I would bring in Silva because just watching the City team over the last few weeks, where they've struggled a little bit. You can see that they've really missed Silva's motor in that midfield and his creativity. And De Bruyne, as great as he's looked, he's not the one that's trafficking that ball across the entire 18 and looking for those incisive passes.
I think the only concern is whether Silva's going to be treated very carefully over the next couple of weeks. You know, I mean,
yeah, and that's been Pellegrini's MO in his press conferences, right?
If he's got this ankle problem, he could definitely aggravate it again. There's a good chance. I mean, with Newcastle and Bournemouth back to back at home, it's really a prime opportunity to rest Silva. Right. I mean, Newcastle's performance against Chelsea notwithstanding, yeah. You would expect that to be a game that Man City is able to win pretty easily.
Yes. On paper, you don't need Silva to play.
So if you wanted to, I think De Bruyne is actually the slightly more secure option. And in fact, Sterling may be the more secure option, too, because he's already been rested once. He was rested in game week 5. So I think you'd feel pretty good, I think, about having him as well. It's hard for me. You know, we talked about this, we talked about this a little bit on Twitter, but this weekend was an incredible weekend for the Game Week 1 template team.
Yeah.
It was like
Theo Sacco, Walcott.
Yeah, Theo Walcott, Harry Kane, Sacco, Man City or Man U defender. Like all of these people that that I had on my team. Of course, the Dutchman.
Oh yeah, Memphis Depay.
Memphis Depay comes through.
Do we have to speak about that idiot?
But it would have been like a 100-point week for me if this happened 7 weeks ago.
Yeah, and Graziano Pella, who I've had in my squad this entire game. So,
but this is the time of year when you really have to. You can't let short-term things that have, you can't be afraid of bringing good players back in just because they didn't perform. We talked about this with Walcott a minute ago, but I think the same thing applies to Sterling. You know, just because game weeks 1 through 4 weren't so strong for them doesn't mean that you just can't bring it back in. I mean, it's like emotional. It's hard. I struggle with this too. You know, this feeling of like, well, I just, this guy sucks. You know, this is why, like, I can never have Oscar in my team.
Everybody's got their player, right?
Yeah. And Oscar's mine. Just Oscar will never be on one of Josh Lennon's fantasy teams. I can't handle it.
Well, I'm thrilled to see that Joe Hart is back in the action. He apparently had a man of the match performance in the Champions League.
And yeah. Saved a penalty.
I mean, I'm like, why can't I get fantasy points for these midweek penalty saves?
It's amazing how I had one of the busiest days of work I've had in months, and I have like a minute by minute recall of this game. Part of it is the whole UEFA coefficient thing where I just feel very invested in how the Premier League clubs are doing right now because they might actually lose their fourth Champions League spot to Italy.
There was an article that was linked to on Howler's Goalmouth email from the BBC talking about how the Premier League TV money has kind of thrown off the Premier League's performance in the Champions League, because now that all of these other teams have all this money to spend, like, say, Stoke City with the money to bring in guys like Shaqiri or John Stones, having the security to not have to go to Chelsea to earn a decent wage. And this is making the Premier League even more hyper-competitive and taking all the juice for them out of the Champions League, which I think is an interesting way to think about it.
Yeah, and to be honest, I don't really care. I mean, I mean, you know, that fourth place spot is Arsenal's, and maybe if they had and it wouldn't even apply. I think it actually wouldn't even apply until next year anyway. But I think, the Champions League in some ways, I feel like it almost happens in theory. As an American, they're on, you know, the games are on Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 2:45, right? So you can track them at work every night. You know, if it's a slow day, maybe you can even stream them for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like around Thanksgiving weekend, you know, Thanksgiving week, I can watch like, I probably watch about 6 hours of Champions League all year, right? Yeah. Because it's so hard to find the time to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, and I love the Premier League and I love how competitive it is, right? I mean, the table is, it's a work of art right now. It's absolutely incredible.
It is incredible. But we didn't grow up with the Premier League. We've since adopted it, and we want to root for a league that is among the best in Europe, not the world.
Which it is. It's among the best.
Yeah.
It's in the top five.
In and around the best.
And I think for us, you know, as Americans, we don't have that national pride. It, you know, it doesn't reflect on us as a nation, you know, how we perform.
Oh, it's true. Well, I have the captain's armband on Aguero right now against Newcastle. What about you?
I have the same, and I'm debating turning Eden Hazard into one of the Man City midfielders, which would probably be De Bruyne, just because I'm a little worried that Silva may not start, and I'm still working to overcome my own Sterling bias. The move I wanted to make, and I started to talk about this earlier, I don't think I finished my thought, was I love the idea of actually bringing in Bakary Sagna and having two defenders, which is always a risky strategy, but
you're worried about that Zabaleta rotation.
Yeah, now I'm concerned that Zabaleta is going to take one or two of his starts. I mean, you know, we're not talking about games at home to Chelsea or, you know, Arsenal or, you know, some game where you really want your best players. These are two games at home to, you know, two teams that are going to be fighting to stay up this year.
Right.
What a great chance to give Zabaleta 90 minutes.
Right. Yeah. It's true.
So I, you know, and I hate burning a transfer in a player who may not start. You know, it's just such a there's nothing worse than making a transfer and having that player not play that week, which has happened to all of us. And, you know, it's brutal.
It is totally brutal. So anything else on City before we move on?
Nope, I don't think so.
So those are our trending topics. Any cheaters out there, obviously we'll be following what's trending on the internet for your own listening pleasure. But if you have any topics you want us to discuss, just send them to us on Twitter. At Hail Cheaters is where you can find us. Okay, so since you're probably listening to this very late on Wednesday or Thursday, our eyes are not looking back to Game Week 7. Let's just go ahead and jump into Game Week 8 and look at what's coming up and how we can set our squads to optimize these fixtures. All right,
let's optimize.
So,
we need music for the optimizer.
We do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're gonna be calling up our old friend Zach Kurd to see if he can give us some optimizer music.
We've made Zach listen to countless crummy podcasts that we've come up with.
By all accounts, not a sports fan. No. And yet he has created so much sports-related music.
I think at one point we asked him to create a jingle with, and the comp song was anything off of a Jock Jam soundtrack.
Well, he did a pretty good job, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. The guy's a professional.
Yeah. Okay.
So game week 8, who kicks us off here?
All right,
in the optimizer.
In the optimizer. First match is Crystal Palace, West Brom. West Brom looked pretty good in this match, or looked pretty good against Everton until Everton had this really unlikely comeback. I don't know if you watched any of this game or were listening to it. It was
I was listening to it on my phone. Well, I was doing my usual NBC Sports Live Extra app face down.
Yeah, it was all about Lukaku, who just took over.
It was like a Rocky-esque performance. You thought he was down, and then he got up and went for the knockout blow.
Yeah, really impressed with Lukaku. Not as impressed with, what's his name, the midfielder who's been...
Barkley, Ross Barkley?
Yeah. not as impressed with Ross Barkley.
Barkley he's so good at getting everyone's spirits so high, and then, you know, I'll eat my words. I was saying the same thing about Juan Mata effectively last week, disappearing.
I mean, they had a breakaway at the end of that game, and he really should have assisted. There were like two open players on either side of him. But anyway, well, let's move on from my anti.
We'll get to Everton later.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's about Crystal Palace and West Brom. Granted, it was against Watford, who's not the most terrifying opposition. But I thought Crystal Palace looked really good on Sunday. Was really impressed with how tight they were in defense. I mean, given that they're still missing Joel Ward, that I think Delaney had just come back from an injury.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And Martin Kelly seems to be the one weak link there who will probably immediately get dropped as soon as Joel Ward is healthy.
I think Papa Suare is an interesting player to look at. He is a 4.5 million defender who plays for Crystal Palace. He's played every week so far this season. And
gotta love that consistency, man.
Yeah, 4.5 midfielder and he's picked up some bonus points too, I believe. Yeah, well, two on the season. But... They've only kept one clean sheet, but he has an assist to his name as well.
Not a lot of love for Jason Puncheon yet this season.
Yeah. I mean, he's just not the player you'd want on that team, I think.
He has been in the past, though, right?
But Johan Kabay is, he's on penalties now, as we know.
Yeah.
Controlling has the ball at his feet a lot of the game. He's only 6.4. So he's, it's only half a million more than Jason Puncheon.
Hit the post the week before. So yeah. The guy's gunning for goal. I like that pick. So what about clean sheets, though? I mean, everyone's jumped on a West Brom player. Like, I picked up Craig Dawson along with a lot of other people looking for these West Brom clean sheets. Any way they can stave off the Crystal Palace attack?
I think it's definitely possible. It's a weird – there's no one player on that Crystal Palace team who – I mean, from a fantasy perspective, it's hard to know who you'd even want to have, right? I mean, Gale did look pretty good, even though he missed a boatload of chances. Zaha, has been benched already this season. I mean, Kabay is an
explosive player, but he's looked a little wild this season.
Yeah, so I think that given that there's no, I think that West Brom could definitely keep a clean sheet in this game. I would be starting at my West Brom players if I had them.
And Berahino, worth considering, too, coming off of a goal.
Yep, and he's, that would be kind of a off the wall forward choice. I mean, no one's talking about him, but he's only 6.2, so you know, 0.3 more than Wilson. Has scored the last two games. The next three matches for them are away to Crystal Palace, at home to Sunderland, away to Norwich. So, you know, those are games where you'd be happy to start a West Brom striker.
Yeah,
and then home to Leicester in game week 11. I mean, at this point, despite the fact that we're all kind of rooting for Leicester and love the way that they play, I mean, you want to just follow that team around and start midfielders and forwards against them. I mean, there is no way they're keeping a clean sheet this year.
No way. I fear for the West Brom clean sheet. I kind of want to predict a 2-0 win for Crystal Palace here.
I'm going to go with I think this could be a 0-0 draw. Okay. Early morning game. Yeah. Okay. Let's go with that.
Okay. It's going to be tough to get out of bed at 7:45 Eastern time.
It is. Yeah. Start your defenders.
All right, who's next?
So that brings us to the 10 o'clock fixtures, or 3 p.m. if you're there, just in case you needed us to do the math, in case you didn't know that.
What about our good friend from the Hail Cheaters Mini League who lives on Christmas Island? What time is it there?
I don't know. What time is it on Christmas Island? That is a good question. Did you look that up? Did we find out where Christmas Island
is? It's near Australia. It's okay, in the Indian Ocean somewhere.
Gotcha. All right.
It's meant to be beautiful. I'd like to go there someday and learn what time it is there.
Maybe we should do a live podcast in Crystal Island.
Yes.
Christmas Island. Also Crystal Island, if there's one.
Yeah, all the islands.
All right.
Villa Stoke.
Villa scored, you know, couple late goals in that Villa-Liverpool game. I don't really understand how that happened. I mean, that game was cruising towards a 2-0, 3-0 game.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of it, so I didn't see how Gusted scored his goals. I assume he scored them off his head, which he's supposedly a prodigious scorer of goals from his noggin.
Yeah, I didn't. There were too many other good 10 a.m. fixtures for me.
It's true.
And that Liverpool team is not very fun to watch right now, so I was not watching this game.
Though Sturridge is back. I guess we'll get to Sturridge when we get to the Merseyside Derby. When we get to the Merseyside Derby.
So, yeah, Rudy Gusted, who you brought up earlier, is it seems too early, right, to bring in Gusted.
Aston Villa's form is so shaky right now, you can't call anything there.
Yeah, and their fixtures aren't that strong anyway. I mean, they're, you know, home this week, but then they're away to Chelsea, away to Spurs, home to Man City. I have Micah Richards, and I'm planning for him to have a long stay on my bench starting in game week 10.
So as far as Stoke, though, goes, I'd be interested in investing in one of their midfield players for this game if I was shopping around, even though Shaqiri is a doubt, according to the FPL site for this game week. Let's see, what is his problem?
It still feels like they're
got
kind
a hamstring.
Of, yeah, it still feels like they're figuring out, you know, what the best 11 is, or you know, what formation works best for them.
Yeah, the one consistency, weirdly, is Arnautovic.
Yeah, who's been terrible for. Yeah, he was such a frustrating. Maybe it's just the man bun, and I'm just biased against him. You know, he actually had
is it
seven
the man or is it the man bun?
He scored one goal last year. He actually had 7 assists, which surprises me a little bit. Maybe I'm a little biased against him just because I don't like the way he looks, and he has a tendency to sky the ball over the bar at like any opportunity.
He does. He looks like a very emotionally fragile player too. He gets upset very easily.
Yeah,
he doesn't seem to communicate well with his teammates.
But Juuf is an interesting player. 6.5 scored again. You know, was injured for a while, but you know he was looking really good in game weeks 2 and 3. You know, game week 4 was that weird double red card game at home to West Brom, so you can't really take that too seriously. He's definitely one to look forward to or to, you know, keep on your radar. Not the forward I would probably move to from Callum Wilson, but you know, I don't know, someone to keep an eye on.
So you're definitely going to start Jack Butland here in goal for Stoke. There's hope of a clean sheet here.
Yeah, and he's racking up a lot of save points too. I mean, the other option is Schmeichel, and which I guess away to Norwich. I mean, it's kind of a coin flip, but I'm feeling more confident with Butland on the road to Aston Villa.
Right, right. Okay, so who's next?
All right, next match is the promoted derby. Bournemouth and Watford.
This is going to be a fun game. I am going to make a point to tune in for some of this, at least.
Me too. And this is one of the reasons why if I'm going to make the move, if I'm going to finally get rid of Deeney, which I've been trying to do for 7 weeks, it would be after, it'd be nice just to get rid of him right now. Because I could bring in Glenn Murray. No, I actually can't afford him. His price is a little too high because he was at Crystal Palace at the start of the season.
This is the saddest story of all time. A man who can't afford to bring Glenn Murray in.
I know. It's awful.
It's a little bit of a bummer that this game won't feature Callum Wilson. So I guess Matt Ritchie is going to be your star Bournemouth attacking player.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, could be Ritchie. Could be. It could be Murray. Murray looked really, he looked pretty strong at the end of last season.
Mm-hmm.
For Crystal Palace. And a proven goal scorer, actually, too. He had some pretty bad injury problems, which affected it. I know he was really strong for Crystal Palace when they were in the Championship, and then battled injuries the whole time they were in the Premier League. So, but he's kind of, I think he's like 33. He's not like an up and coming player.
Right.
He's my age. So he's on the decline. But I would expect goals in this game, though.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, if you have Watford defenders, you're going to stick, right?
Yeah, definitely. They could have kept it clean. That was heading towards a 0-0 draw until the late penalty. But that was a weird game because Niam has looked so good this year.
you can't say his name without me thinking of one of your proposed FPL team names, Niam.
Niam, Niam, Niam.
It's too good to not use, so yeah. Anybody out there, please feel free to use it.
He was getting burned so badly by Wilfred Zaha that they actually had to take him out of the game in the 75th minute.
Yeah, somebody in our Always Cheating Twitter stream was predicting a Nyam penalty because he was playing so wildly.
Yeah, it did happen.
And it did so, happen.
I think
predictions come true.
Yeah, I think like 1-1 or 2-1, one way or the other. It's hard to know.
There have to be goals in this game. If there aren't goals in this game, everyone's going to tune out, I think, unless they're a fan.
Yeah, yeah, agreed.
All right, who's next?
Man City, Newcastle. We talked about this a lot already, so I don't think we have to dwell on it too much. I mean, this seems like an easy Man City win.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, and armband for both of us is sticking on Aguero for the time being. Now, that could certainly changed late Friday night after a couple IPAs. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Norwich, Leicester.
And my man Joe Hart is hopefully going to be back in goal. I mean, I'm sure he is.
Good. Yeah,
after Willie Caballero's complete disaster against Spurs last week.
Yeah. All right. So the next match is Norwich, Leicester. What do you think about Mahrez? I mean, now he's got to be the most owned player in the Premier League.
Yeah. He's allowed to have an off week. He's not going to go nuts every week. It's just, it's improbable. It's impossible.
No, I couldn't agree more. But it's interesting how nobody's talking. I mean, I guess it's just no one wants to dwell on it because you can't perform every week.
Yeah. You've got to like his chances against Norwich they have looked organized at times and not organized, disorganized other times.
Yeah, he is far and away the most owned player, by the way. Like, take a guess. What do you think his ownership percentage is?
Well, I feel like we were looking at him a week ago and we saw that he had crested 50% ownership. So what is he, like 53%?
Yeah, 52.8.
Nice.
I guess. Yeah. Which is, I think, about 18% higher than any other player. Kolarov, interestingly enough, Kolarov and Klein are the top two defenders. 33% of the managers have Nathaniel Klein. That's got to be a template team.
Well, right? I'm one of those guys, and I brought him in 2 weeks ago. I mean, either I'm a template manager or I'm a complete moron, so you take your
pick.
I think
the game week one template had Klein in there.
Yes, so. Agreed. He had a lot of promise because he's such an amazing season for Southampton last year.
Other than that, it's Guerra. Wow, what do you think Marshall's ownership percentage is on Man U?
I'm gonna guess 37.
No, it's 30%, but 30% seems very high for.
The same as Hazard at this point.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so that game aside.
So there are no clean sheets to be had in this Norwich Leicester game. Leicester,
wouldn't think so.
They can't get a pizza party to save their friggin' lives.
Although I think we're both planning to start George R. Russell Martin in this game.
Absolutely, he's in the goals. He's going for the golden boot. He dances with the dragons.
All right, so that brings us to Sunderland West Ham.
This you is know, the West game Ham that still, drove me to panic over the weekend.
West Ham is still, you know, the thing that may give you that may ease your concern a little bit if you don't bring in a West Ham player is their strategy against, you know, the top club seems watertight, and their strategy against mid-table teams is a little bit different. It's like they don't know how to play a less counter-attacking style when they're up against a team that they really by all accounts should be. I mean, this West Ham team is really full of talent right now. Yeah. I mean, it's actually kind of amazing that Andy Carroll is playing on this West Ham team.
Yeah, they brought in Victor Moses and Jelovic.
I mean, even Kouyaté, right? I mean, that guy is like a under the radar, maybe their fifth or sixth best player, you know, but he's, I don't know. Just, I love the way that team is looking right now. They're not keeping a lot of clean sheets, but, you know, Mark Noble, it's just a fun, Chris fantasy stuff aside, they're a fun team to root for right now.
Yeah, I agree with you, though. Sunderland being a scrub team, they're going to play West Ham a little differently, and it could be a little confusing for them.
Yeah, so I do think West Ham will win this game, though. And something like, I could see this being like a 3-2 game, you know? I could see like just a lot of goals in this game.
Yeah. All right, then the 12:30 fixture, who we got?
12:30 fixture, we got Chelsea Southampton.
I'm looking forward to this game. This should be a pretty evenly matched.
A real statement win for Southampton at home to Swansea.
Yeah, I agree. And they had a dip in like the fourth and fifth game week, and they've picked it up again. And thank you, Graziano Pelle, for giving me some joy in my forward lineup the last few weeks.
Yeah.
He's looked marvelous, and I hope he'll be involved against Chelsea. Chelsea are definitely leaking goals.
It does seem like eventually we're going to see them just like Chelsea just post a normal Chelsea style win, like a 2-0 win,
against Arsenal.
But that game was anything but normal. That game was insane.
it was truly insane. We went to hell and back in that game.
So I think maybe it's time. Eventually they're going to. I refuse to buy that they're not going to go on some run where they win like 8 out of 9 games. I know that there's like this third season syndrome with Mourinho, but this team is too talented. And I feel like I've said this like every week on the podcast, but it is going to happen. Eventually they're going to just roll over the league for 7 or 8 weeks, and maybe it starts here. But that's just
wishful thinking,
probably.
Yeah, no, I do think you're right, and I'd feel a lot better about this game for Southampton if they were playing at St. Mary's. But and the Southampton midfield, they've got great players like Mane and Tadic. But
Mane could score in this game.
He could, but it seems like if Mane isn't afforded any space, then he's immediately taken out of the game. I mean, like metaphorically taken out of the game.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. And Tadic is interesting too, but you know, Tadic is not. I'd be reluctant to have him on my team right now because it doesn't seem like him scoring or playing really well precludes him from getting excluded from the squad.
Yeah,
right. You know, he can have really good. Like he had that. Remember, he had a big game against Liverpool last year. Right? He just scored a big goal late. And I think he was on the bench for the next 2 weeks. You know,
It seems like the coach doesn't really like him.
Komen. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
The coach. I'm so American.
The gaffer. all right. So that gets us to the Sunday fixture.
We'll be hoping for Hazard to show up to this game. And I think this is a game that Hazard could show up to. Southampton's defense isn't any big deal right now.
I think so, too. So we get to Sunday now. And three great games. All three of them are games I'm really excited to watch.
Yeah, and I've been telling you I've had brunch plans made for me, which it's really difficult. I mean, I can't just watch soccer like all 38
weeks. No, you really can't.
But
gotta find the balance.
Yeah, it's just really hard to tear yourself away from this lineup. It's fantastic.
It's the first match, early morning fixture. Everton, Liverpool, Merseyside derby. Everton, fantastic inspirational win. Liverpool reeling after
dog shit,
just looking terrible for weeks and weeks.
I guess Sturridge is a light for them, a light of hope, a beacon.
He's a valuable player for them, less valuable, as we discussed on last week's podcast, from a fantasy point of view. Unless the problem is, if Man City didn't have this run of incredible home fixtures, it would make a lot of sense to move, or at least consider the possibility of moving from Aguero to Sturridge.
Yeah, I thought about it.
You'd save like $2.6 million. You know, he looks terrific. Obviously, he's when he's healthy, he's, you know, one of the best strikers in the Premier League.
Yeah, but he could just explode into a million tiny pieces of glass at any moment.
I think that if he had another big week, if he played well the next couple weeks, I think you could start to see you know, a shift in the template, and you could see Aguero and Sturridge. I mean, it's not certainly in years past it wouldn't be uncommon to have, you know, two or even three strikers who are 9 to 13 million.
Right.
And just take all that money in the midfield. It doesn't really make a lot of sense right now because there are so many points to be had in the midfield, right? I mean, Mahrez, Paye, you know, the Man City midfielders. There's a lot of places to spend your money where you're getting more consistent returns than you get with Sturridge. I mean, so he's not one I'd bring in right now, but you know, he and Costa both. I mean, at some point Diego Costa is presumably going to be an option again as a you know, from a fantasy point of view.
Maybe, sure.
Yeah. So I don't see any clean sheets in this game.
Yeah, this game for me is, from an FPL standpoint, is a striker's game. It's either Lukaku or it's Sturridge. Are they guys like Ross Barkley? I mean,
it'd be nice for Lukaku to have a big game and a big. It does seem like Lukaku's goals tend to come. I'm not saying he's like a flat track bully exactly, but it does seem like a lot of his best games come against.
I seem to recall a Merseyside derby where you had Lukaku in your squad, maybe two seasons ago, and he ended up scoring two goals. Do you remember this?
Yeah, vaguely. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
it's been a while. It's been a while, Lukaku. Let's see it again.
Let's see it again. All right, then the later fixtures we've got. First one is Arsenal Man United. Complete.
Coin toss.
I don't know anybody. I mean, if I were impossible game to gamble on, if that's, you know, I would not fantasy. I mean, like it's fantasy or real life where fantasy meets reality. I don't know how to feel about this game. I'm certainly going to be starting Alexis in this game, but yeah. any outcome would not surprise me. You know,
yeah, I could
1-1, 2-2.
I could see Arsenal going out there.
A number that wasn't a draw.
I could see Arsenal steamrolling United. I could see that both teams being stymied and it being a 0-0 draw. But here's my prediction. Koscielny slide tackles Martial in the box for ill-timed, gets a red card. Juan Mata scores on the penalty. United win 1-0.
Okay. I could see that. The problem is that Arsenal's lost to Olympiacos this week. Does it help or hurt them? You know, I mean, does it make them? It's actually probably good for Arsenal if they have a match of this like level of importance that, like, you know, right after the Olympiacos loss, because they can't, you know, they don't have some match like some easy match where they don't have to gain, you know, they don't have to gear up for it. I mean, they have to go. It's like right back into the fire with this game. So I do think that they. I don't know. I mean, we know
they haven't proved themselves emotionally capable in any game this season.
Yeah.
I mean, Chelsea, case in point, that was the biggest game they'd had in the season yet, and they just totally bombed that.
Yeah, the only player I would really consider having in this game, I have him. I certainly wouldn't be bringing a player in from either squad for this game, unless you wanted to just get on the Martial thing before his price got crazy high, because he does seem like the real deal.
Yeah. If he scores this game, he'll be approximately 15 million in the game.
Yep, that's how he's going to jump up that
120% ownership. Yeah,
he's going to break the 0.3 million rule that's been in place, which apparently is like we all just assume that's the case. Like no one, you know, it hasn't been confirmed this year, but he had enough transfers in this week that if the rule wasn't in place that you could only go 0.3, then he would have like, you know, whatever the metric is, he broke through that metric, so he should have gone up 0.4 by all accounts.
Good for him.
Yeah, but the fixtures aren't that strong for Man United over the next several weeks anyway. So, you know, either you brought him in last week and you're probably going to keep him now, or you're going to wait until you know, things get a little bit better around like week 11, week 12. But, you know, the next three games are away to Arsenal, away to Everton, home to Man City. Not games you necessarily want a bunch of fantasy players in.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I agree. Steer clear of this fixture.
All right, so that brings us to the last match, Swansea Spurs, another hard game to predict.
Yeah, two seemingly equally matched teams, though Spurs is on the ascendancy now. Though I just saw that Son is out with a foot injury.
Oh, really? I hadn't seen that. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Well, that probably
just
hurts.
Just came then. Through on the wire.
Yeah. You're getting like phone beeps as this podcast goes?
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know if he's definitely out, but it was raised as a concern, and he's registered as a doubt in the game itself.
All right, here's my prediction. I'm putting my faith in Gary Monk, the Swansea manager, whom I admire greatly.
Seems like a very likable guy. Smart haircut.
And I think this is a bounce-back game for them. I predict a 3-1 Swansea win with a goal and an assist for Bafatimbi Gummies.
Tim. I love it.
Tim Gummies.
You know, the more we talk, the more I feel like maybe I'm just going to stick with Ayu and Gummies. And hold on for two transfers. That might be a move I consider. So I would put an awful lot of faith in this fixture.
It's a wild swing, Brennan. From minus 12 to no transfers at all.
If there was a way for me to just get 12 points somehow through
prediction, you will make a transfer.
Okay.
I know you. I know you want people to resist. It's going to be 11:45 on Friday, and you're gonna pull the trigger.
Well, now all of our listeners know that if I do make a transfer, it will be for spite. Or if
you don't make one,
yeah. Now, yeah. If our listeners know if I don't make a transfer, it will be for spite. It will be to spite Josh.
All right, cool. So that's your lot.
That is your lot. Thanks everyone for listening, and thanks for holding off for another day for this sick podcast. So keep listening. You can subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio or SoundCloud, and please write us a review if you like the show. Where else can people find us, Josh?
They can find us. They can get the league code on our Twitter page or on Facebook, which we don't post on Facebook too often, but we do post every new episode of the podcast on there.
Yeah, so you can kind of follow the episodes there if that's your way, if you're spending most of your time on Facebook.
Yep, and otherwise, you can find us on Twitter or on the website, alwaystreating.com.
Absolutely. So great. Good luck to everyone in game week 8.
I know, last week before the international break, which is coming too soon.
So enjoy. Also, Josh, I wanted to let our listeners know that Kwadwo Poku was voted in the MLS 24 under 24. He's number 7 with a bullet.
Oh, Poku. Sweet Poku.
Yeah, hashtag Poku forever.
All right, hail cheaters.
See you, Josh.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.